Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott,
Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
What does the survey say? Survey says, hey, look at this, half, nearly half, now say the government poses an immediate threat to individuals' rights and freedoms. Boy, where are the 49% say this? What are the other 51% thinking? Have they not read history? Do they know nothing about the origin of the organic American Republic? Americans sense that the federal government poses an immediate threat to individuals' rights and freedoms is at a new high, 49%. I don't know. Check back to the colonists. I think it was a little bit higher then when they realized the government that they were under at the point of the king, the kingdom, so to speak, was a lot worse, but maybe not. In fact, today, what the king, if this were the king of England, it'd be times 10 from what was happening a long time ago. But this is a Gallup poll. I've got this linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. Very interesting information. It seems like more people are indeed waking up, asking questions, and looking into government as maybe not our friend. But let's look at this if we divide it into that Hegelian dialectic. And we begin to realize that there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. Really? Well, sort of, but sort of not. I'll explain that. And by the way, today, in just a few minutes, my dear friend, the conspiracy realist Liam Sheff drops by the studio to ramp up the message of what we don't know. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be intense. It's going to be revealing. It's going to take us to places where we've never been. Or if we have, we're going to enjoy being there again. But yes, Republicans, guess what, viewed this perspective on government at the rate of 61%. Independents, 57%. Then where are those Democrats in California who want to mandate the HPV shot for all little girls without parental consent? Well, only 28% of them say that they believe the government poses an immediate threat. Well, of course, because they're part of that threat. They're just threatening you all the time. Now, if we really parse the Republican-Democrat false Hegelian dialectic, we'll realize that both of them want to grow government. Even though the Democrats want to admit it more, the Republicans say, well, it's a threat, but we want to grow it because we got to go after the bad guys everywhere. But even here domestically, when we think about the differences, when you look at all the people running for president right now in the Republican field in the primary, they all have varying degrees of interventionism on their mind. Many of them are all foreign interventionists. Some of them say, we want to reduce the troops by a level. Well, let's bring one or two of them home. And others say, well, we can reclassify them, set them up on the border, or maybe we can, well, put them to work for the FDA. There are not enough FDA agents attacking all of you people out there that drink raw milk or would like to. And this is, this is where we are in America right now, where both major parties, literally devoid of liberty at their core. Maybe they have the rhetoric, but when it comes to really putting it into play, they are part of the problem. They are the enemy of freedom. They are the enemy of we the people. And right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're just, I'd say, man enough to admit it, but I know we got a lot of women listening to us, Liam. So are man or woman enough to admit what's gone on here? What has gone on here? Obviously, Liam has been held mute. By, is there somebody right there behind you holding
now
you back?
Now, in India's sunny clime, where I used to spend my time, a servant of Her Majesty the Queen.
Yes.
Hey, it's a little Kipling to open the show. I didn't mean to leave you hanging there.
That's all right. We got some Rudyard in the house. Listen, on top of that today, Liam, if you don't mind, there's a big article. We're going to jump into this in a little while. Mike Adams just came out with talking about 9/11. He says, jumping rope. And 9/11 truth, how to avoid the sheeple, or how the sheeple have been trained to avoid the unpopular truth about the World Trade Center 7 collapse. Of course, we know it's more than that. We've covered it on the air here. But I think it is timely now, as more and more of the illusions are crumbling and the curtain is being lifted, that we should lift it a little bit higher today on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, indeed. Did you know that science had an explanation for anything? Let's listen to this bit of science.
We have science coming? Okay, go ahead.
New Twin Tower conspiracy, says LiveScience.com. New Twin Tower collapse model mm-hmm. could squash 9/11 conspiracies. Wait a second. I thought the 9/11 conspiracies were so ridiculous that they wouldn't need
squashing.
No, they would just be write themselves out of the history.
I mean, they could use a little squishing. But not squash.
I just got confused. Wait a second. I thought 9/11 was a conspiracy. I thought that people came here and got on planes and conspired. I'm confused. They're just mixing conspiracies now. Of course, there are the okay conspiracies and the not okay conspiracies. So what they're saying is that the new Twin Tower collapse model could get rid of the not okay conspiracies, which would mean that some of the conspiracists...
Yeah, it's a cyst. It's a medical issue. See, that's why we're covering this.
Might have been... Not from Saudi Arabia or some cave in Afghanistan, and maybe did better than getting some pencil erasers or box openers. We're not sure, because the box opener story, you know, our friend Jim Mars came on.
Yes.
And revealed to us and opened my eyes to the fact, I say, that the box cutter story, that 15 Saudi Arabians out of 19 hijackers had box cutters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that story came through a phone call, which was later admitted to never having occurred. Occurred.
Yeah, yeah.
Men with box cutters. Men with knives to open box.
Hey, Leah, what? You're on a health show. Why are we talking about this 9/11 stuff? Remember, I see people that write stuff like that. When Mike Adams writes about 9/11, they say, stick to health stuff. What do you think you are talking about this? Don't mention politics. And, you know, I've been quick to retort that, of course, health is about everything. And, of course, does politics impact your health or your freedom to heal or your freedom to access things? Absolutely. Anybody that's so ignorant that they think health is only about physiology and you think you like supplements and herbs, don't talk about anything else. Listen, it's about the reality of all life. All healing is related to all living. And
sound mind, sound body.
There you go.
You got to clean up your head a little bit, too.
Exactly.
Listen, if you give the government propagandists or the non-government propagandists, which are actually the worst of the two, the internationalists, who we don't even know by name, we don't know by face, we don't vote for them, we don't elect them, but they happen to pull the strings that make the Clintons and Obamas of the world tap dance like little Bilderberg puppets. If we don't talk about this, then we don't understand what's happening in the health world. Why is the Codex Alimentarius starting to crush everybody's right to sell green tea if they want to, or buy it if they want to, or raw milk if they want to, or organic if they want to? It's all connected. So here's the story. LiveScience.com. Many 9/11 conspiracy theories, except the official one, of course, revolve around explosions that were seen and heard in the WTC Twin Towers prior to their collapse. Hold on a second. Explosions? Now, the mainstream has now just stopped. Now, they're rushing through this first sentence as though this were...
Pardon me, Liam. Am I under the impression that there were supposed to be no explosions?
There were no explosions.
There were no explosions.
Let me read this first sentence.
Wait a second.
Many 9/11 conspiracy theories revolve around explosions, not putative explosions, not explosions they believe happened, explosions that,
were seen
and heard and videotaped.
Oh my gosh.
And audio recorded in the WTC. Oh, there were explosions.
They're backtracking.
In other words, so many people now are watching the YouTube and Vimeo and all the other videos of what happened on 9/11 that it's absolutely fundamentally clear that there were multiple explosions going on through the hour before the buildings exploded, didn't collapse, exploded outward and downward at freefall speed. Despite, goes the article, scientific. That word should just mean, essentially, that word
has official stories, right? Again.
Scientific. They might as well, like in the 50s, they would have said, or the 40s, or the 30s, or the 1800s, or never mind, that was the age of enlightenment. In the 1500s, they would have said, the Pope.
The Pope says.
The Pope says, the Pope, the Vicar of Jesus Christ on Earth. Now they say scientific, as though, oh, scientific, it must be true. No. Scientific means, well, let's find out what it means. Despite scientific investigations that have explained the processes that brought down the skyscrapers, that's a lie, some conspiracy theorists suggest the plane impacts were just red herrings to distract from the fact that 9/11 was a, quote, inside job. In other words, an intelligence operation, that explosives had been implanted or painted on like thermite earlier in the WTC buildings and were what really brought them down. Now, wait a second. There are people, conspiracy theorists. Again, 9/11 is a conspiracy. Hijackers from another country pretended to be conspired.
Well, yeah, even if you believe word for word the 9/11 commission, it's a conspiracy. Hello?
It's a conspiracy.
The C word's not so strange as it is in that regard as it's used in this way. But, of course, when you take it out of the words that were put there, even though they have acknowledged some things, if you pick it apart, like, you know, Congressman Ron Paul talks about the issue of blowback, foreign policy matters and how these things impact. But even beyond that, as we covered, the whole idea of a cabal within the government or the dark side of the government, the people behind the people, the shadow government.
It's a shadow government. You don't vote for, you don't know. Nobody who runs for office knows these people unless they get a visit late at night because they're bumping up against some policy that's very important to the people, trading arms for weapons, to buy weapons, to go into another country, to save it from what? To make sure the United Fruit Company, in the 50s, this happened. The United Fruit Company gets to sell its stuff at slave labor prices to America. Look, there's an entire history here that goes deep. It's called the CIA. It's called Mossad. It's an intelligence agency. And then you have the jackals and the people who get removed from it. And you can look up Philip Agee or Agee and read his stuff on company business. And you can look up the guy who wrote the Confessions of
an Economic Hitman, John Perkins,
see how it works. Nobody's making this stuff up. It's an exciting...
It's all there. But you know what's fascinating about this article that you brought to my attention, Liam? It's a backtracking of those who would try to attack anybody, ad hominem or discredit them, marginalize, fringe them somehow. They're now admitting a major, major... this is not a minor thing that they go, there are explosions. They were seen. They were heard. They were videotaped. Oh, we better figure this one out now. What do we redefine conspiracy here.
Whoops. Oops. We forgot people had video cameras. Yes, we forgot people would be telling the truth. We forgot dozens and dozens of firefighters and police officers and emergency medical workers would be there saying, yes, we were blown down stairwells by constant explosions. Yes, they were ringing around the buildings. This is what happened. There's no reason for these guys to lie. They were in fear for their lives. They reported what happened. Now, it's a fact that there were multiple explosions. Here's why, of course. It's not that there were explosives in the building. It's now a material scientist, goes the article, materials scientist, has come up with a more scientific. Why don't they say scientifical?
Right. Scientific-ish?
Has come up with a scientific-ish-ist explanation for the mystery booms.
We weren't really all the way scientific before. Now we're more scientific, right? We've gotten more scientific.
Now with more science.
Science plus. New, improved science.
13 for the price of 11.
We can clean your shirts even faster.
Explanation for mystery. Now there are mystery booms.
Mystery booms.
And says his model of the Twin Towers collapse leaves no room for conspiracies, except, the official conspiracy.
The official one, yes.
Here it is. My model explains all the observed features on 11th September. The explosions. Everybody in the audience, sit down.
He said it again. Go.
Put on your thinking caps. I just want you to analyze this.
You'll get it.
The explosions. My model explains all of the observed features. The explosions, molten metal coming out of a window, What?
Did he say molten metal? Wait, wasn't this something they said? You guys are all nutty for mentioning molten metal.
Well, Your Honor, I don't see any molten metal there. The fact that it's the explosions now. Took place in a floor below the place it was burning, the time passing between the crash and the collapse, and the rapid this free fall collapse, you might as well have said. Kristen Simonsen of SINTEF, a research organization in Norway, told Life's Little Mysteries. I guess that's a show.
Norway, yeah.
As detailed in the new issue of Aluminum International today, it's on my coffee table, I know it's on yours, Simonsen argues that
molten?
Get your pencils.
I'm reading this as you're doing it, and I'm like going, this is a... What have they allowed this to get out? They've lost.
Argues that molten aluminum from the airplane bodies chemically reacted with water in the building's sprinkler systems.
All 110 floors?
Setting off explosions that felled the Twin Towers. No, it wasn't a pancaking of the buildings. No, it wasn't the jet impact. It was the aluminum that got into the sprinkler.
Wait a second. melted airplane aluminum went down. Okay, whatever floor they hit, let's say it's 70, 80 floors.
Right.
Of molten aluminum from one plane. Oh, this makes perfect sense, Liam. He's just squished all of the perspectives about the explosions and the molten metal. It's all done. It's over.
He continues. God help.
There's more?
When each jet cut its way into a building, okay, it took with it parts of walls and ceilings.
These were not jets. These were not ordinary jets. These were box cutter jets.
Steel bars in those walls would have gashed its fuel tanks, which would have caught fire. Wait a second. Mm-hmm. He's saying that the fuel after the plane hit would have caught fire. I wonder why nobody saw
any video evidence of
giant
that?
Fireball outside.
Oh, I remember that, Liam. The giant fireball. Maybe was he referring to that? You think?
Well, no, because there must have been something that slowly caught fire inside of the building instead of all the gasoline that blew up outside of the. With the plane positioned somewhere in the middle of the building, I don't think the plane was really left. I think the wreckage was left blanketed in debris and with no route for heat to escape.
Wait. Didn't it break a few windows? You think there might be a little bit of outgas in somewhere?
No route for heat to escape? You mean where people were looking out of a giant airplane-sized hole in the side of the building?
That hole was too big for heat to escape. It needs like little pinholes. Then it would be able to get out.
The temperature would have rapidly escalated, reaching 660 degrees Celsius, 1220 degrees Fahrenheit, the melting point of aluminium.
Aluminium, yes. Of which there were 30 tons, he says here, in each plane fuselage. And it would do this, melt it into the whole building within an hour?
The molten aluminum would then have heated up further between 800 and 850 to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit. Still not the melting point. You still can't do what you do to steel at that point. Look, then the liquid, I guess it's the Terminator when he turns into the liquid Terminator.
Memory metal.
Gets into the liquid metal and then goes through the cracks in the floor, then down to the next floor. And you can see very easily how the...
Well, okay, look, this is like an episode of Alien. And you know, Liam, we're not making, certainly, the people that have lost loved ones. Listen, we...
2,700 Americans were murdered by an intelligence
for their memory,
operation in those
I
buildings.
Think we it would honor them more to acknowledge the absurdity of these explanations here. But it gets even more absurd because, of course, you say, okay, we've got molten aluminum. Now, that's not like in the Alien movies, James Cameron, when they cut the alien and it went right through the ship's hull. There's something more that they say has to happen here. There's an interface. It's not just the molten aluminum. It's, in fact, when it mixes with something else that may have been in the sprinkler system at the time.
Yeah, called water. So they say that the water made the aluminum blow up the Twin Towers. But Building 7, which Mike Adams talks about, no. The third building, WT Tower 7, fell 8 hours after the others. It wasn't hit by an airplane. It was hit by a little debris. It was standing. Scientists...
Wait. We got to take a break here because we're well over time. I'm so fascinated by what's coming out now between what Mike Adams has written, what we're covering here. Liam Sheff is my guest this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, deconstructing the 9/11 mythology, getting back to conspiracy facts. That's right. The truth is out there. No, it's right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stay with us, 866-939-BELL. If you have a perspective on it, robertscottbell.com for all of the links. We'll be right back.
Robert Scott Bell Show. Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Today's show is not for the faint of heart. It's for those who are willing to look boldly at reality, as they are now finally coming around to admit, those that are trying to deconstruct the conspiracy theories, even their own. Now, molten aluminum is where we left off. Liam Sheff is my guest here. Molten aluminum interacting with what? H2O, the humble. What does it turn into, a hydrogen bomb? What are they claiming here? Exothermic reactions times a million? What's going on?
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Well, where we're going right now, taking this apart even further. I mean, look, the 49% of Americans. Yeah, albeit there's only 28% of them are Democrats that think that the government is a threat to individual liberty here. This is what's happening. It's an awareness that is growing. It's a consciousness that is shifting. This stuff couldn't have come out the next day. People were too shocked, too traumatized. Now, as time heals, so to speak, the wounds, now people are coming to senses and reality and going, maybe I should look at this again. That's what we're seeing, but they're desperately defending it.
I was too traumatized. I didn't take a good long look at the 9/11 information until 2007, and I cried when I watched the buildings blowing up. I cried. It was painful. It was hard. It was awful. And the more I got into it, the more I realized that the buildings blew up. They came down at free fall speed. 500-ton segments flew outward, horizontally embedded into buildings across the street. Now, all of this was denied by the 9/11 Commission, by NIST, National Institute of Standard and Technology, by FEMA. Nobody bothered with reality. There were pools of molten metal, like a lake of molten metal underneath these towers' footprints for 3 months. No matter how much water they poured on this stuff, it wouldn't go out. There is a substance called thermite or nanothermite or thermate, which can make steel do this, which is immune essentially to water. But
this guy that's writing this about the molten aluminum.
But you know what this is? This is it. They took a while. This is the Warren Commission. This is the magic bullet.
Yes.
This is the bullet that can go through anything. It can make 7 wounds in 2 people across a number of seconds, going at all kinds of angles, breaking bones, and coming up perfectly unscathed to show up in a hospital near one of the guys who got shot. This is the magic bullet that didn't kill, you know, that wasn't responsible for all of those things. Now you have magic aluminum, and because we're a creative, imaginative species, we're creatures of the imagination, all you have to do is tell this to people, and they go, I can imagine a metal getting really hot and going down through 100 floors and then somehow water hitting it. You can imagine anything. You can imagine a pink elephant flying through the sky delivering pizza.
But this is how they did the Looney Tunes cartoons, the Wile E. Coyote stuff. They imagined it.
But that's for the first two buildings. Ready?
Yes.
Simpson, the scientificalist, says his theory does not challenge the accepted scientific explanation of the collapse of WTC 7. The official government report said the collapse of 1 and 2 was due to overheating the steel bars, but their theory can be used to explain why WT7 collapsed. What? The collapse took place 8 hours after eight hours of fire. No, after some hours of fire, but not incredible fire. It was intense at times and not at others. And was much slower than the collapse of W... No, it wasn't a slower collapse than WTC 1 and 2. It was a faster collapse. This guy's a bleeping idiot.
Yeah.
WTC 7 fell accelerating into free fall speed. It actually accelerated on its way down. That's well known and well understood. It was probably the fastest collapse in terms of accelerating into free fall speed. It was not... There was no molten aluminum.
And this is the one Mike just recently wrote about called Jumping Rope and 9/11 Truth, how the sheeple have been trained to avoid unpopular truth about WTC7. He wrote a brilliant piece. He doesn't hold anything back. I love Mike for this. I mean, he's like, look, if you believe the official story, you're a moron. I mean, that's not holding anything back, but isn't it about time to speak out courageously? Just like I've talked about, speaking out in terms of the disaster that is modern allopathic medical health care, which is disease management at best, disease creation at worst, and to start speaking out. It's like, no, don't come to my door with a needle. You do. I'll laugh in your face. And then if you keep insisting, it'll be a little bit uglier than that.
Exactly. So this official story is there to protect the officials and the people that they're protecting, and to protect a way of thinking about America that's not America. We can handle the truth. We can handle the truth. You cannot handle. Yes, we can handle the truth.
That's why you're here every day. That's why Liam is a welcome guest as often as we can get him on here in studio. And we're covering something, again, in ways that the old media would never try. If they did, they would hurt themselves so badly, they would need another Warren Commission to explain how they got hurt so badly, and then it wouldn't explain it.
Remember, facts change. Remember, science is not holy writ. Mm-hmm. Holy writ was always interpreted anyway, and it was interpreted by people, and so is science. I mean, what if I told you that what's immutable? What's an immutable law of the universe?
Mm-hmm.
What's one that we know?
Well, if we're going to get into the speed of light, we're going to find out that's not one.
The speed of light? I thought that was 186,000.
That's the fastest ever. Nothing can go faster except... Well, what did we find? What are we? No, we're not going to do that, are we?
Speed of light broken.
No, it's broken. Call a mechanic. Anybody out there in the Robert Scott Bell Show audience know how to fix the speed of light? It's evidently been broken. And is Albert Einstein now rolling over in his grave? What's going to happen here, Liam? Is the universe going to fly apart at the seams?
I think the universe will be fine. I think the scientific community will have to remove its head from its black hole. The Telegraph, I think it's British.
The Telegraph is British. By the way, if we talk about the speed of light being broken, maybe now this explains how 9/11 happened. Somehow there's an explanation, a connection here.
It was the human flash.
The human flash did it.
He ran up and down the stairs really quickly.
To cause a conflagration that could never happen any other way.
A conflagration of elements that has been undisclosed of in the universe.
Speed of light broken, life-changing scientific discoveries. The science world has been left in shock.
Shambles, maybe.
After it was announced that CERN scientists, that's a giant hole under the ground in Switzerland, I think,
yes,
had recorded subatomic particles traveling faster than the speed of light. It's 186,000, miles per second or
yep.
some such thing.
I've always thought the speed of thought was faster than the speed of light, even before we had proof for it, but...
You know what's got to be faster? Nobody ever thinks about this. It was pointed out to me by my friends in the electric universe, thunderbolts.info. What's faster than the speed of light? It takes 8 minutes from sunlight to get to planet Earth, but Earth is held in place by something else. Maybe gravity? Essentially, gravity is moving faster than light, so what's gravity? Mm-hmm. There's something faster than light.
Sure.
The science world has been left in shock. I'm shocked to find light speed going faster in this establishment after it was announced that CERN scientists had recorded subatomic particles traveling faster than, not the speed of light, faster than what they thought the speed of light had to be, in a finding that could overturn fundamental fundamental belief.
Right, exactly. Thank you very much. Again, we could talk about religions and science and scientism here. Are they going to change the speed limit? right? They're going to repost from 55 to 70. They're going to up the ante, 186,282 miles per second. It's not fast enough. We're going to repaint all the signs. What are they going to do here?
Right. They're going to have yield signs. You're going too fast. We want this to be the speed of light. You're moving too quickly, little particle. So what's the point of this? The point is that light is an electron. Light is a particle in a wave, or light is a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And thought and microwaves and cell phone radiation and radio waves and television signals, part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So light is in a continuum of all things that manifest. It has been given a speed that seems awfully specific, 186,282 miles per
second. What do they use, like the radar gun? I mean, I always wondered about that. Hey, get that. Throw that ball. Go ahead. We got it. Oh, boy, that was fast.
Yeah, they do it with math.
Had Randy Johnson doing that.
Well, we got a great pitcher. He's got a speed of light arm.
Speed of light arm. You can't hit this. Antonio Ereditato, Domo Arigato, spokesman for the researcher, says, we have high confidence in our results, so they're not lacking confidence. This is good to know. We have checked and rechecked. In other words, they're checking their list. They're checking it twice. I think Santa Claus, this explains again, remember, every Christmas we go into the same thing. How does Santa Claus deliver all those presents? He
faster
has to be faster than
the speed of light.
They checked it, and they checked it twice. Look at the links here. You think I'm kidding? No, it's right there. We've got the links at robertscottbell.com for anything that could have distorted our measurements. But we found nothing. They didn't even say they found a black hole here.
No. Nope.
Scientists agree that if the results are confirmed, that it would force, I tell you, a fundamental rethink of the laws of physics. It's like a do-over. Can we have a do-over?
They need a do-over because physics is broken. Physics is aligned with 17th century models of gravity. And although Isaac Newton was a true genius, he didn't live in the age of electricity, so he didn't understand the electric. And he would have been happy to know this because he was that kind of genius.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't understand. And he was a mystic, too. He didn't say it comes from a dead, nothing universe. He said it's the mind of the creator that makes these things. He's saying there's something bigger than all of us. He's happy just to tune into it.
Look, and Liam, when we get into the high level quantum physics, you talk to physicists at that level. We talk about the glue that holds the universe together, and they come up with one word, the vitamin L word, love. Hmm. Honestly, how many physicists and are a number of them? Some have written books about it. That they get to that level, and it's like nothing else explains it. Now, I don't know that that's scientific. I'm just saying the honesty of those that get to that level say, listen, we don't know. It's got to be something beyond our description. Love is as good as anything.
They call it God or love or universal consciousness or mind or gnosis or any number of such things. But they've built this field of physics around the idea that gravity is the only important thing in the universe. Gravity, which is the weakest of all forces. You can lift up an object off your desk. The entire Earth is pulling on it. You're lifting it off in defiance of gravity of the entire Earth.
And here it was.
What holds the universe together is the electromagnetic force. We did a great show on it about 2 months ago.
Yep. We'll link the download for you there. But John Ellis, a theoretical physicist, said Einstein's theory underlies pretty much everything in modern physics. So if this through that
keyword theoretical,
theoretical physics.
In other words, made up.
And like, here I was. I thought I had the fastest 2 hours of healing on radio. Now I've got to relook at my radar gun here and check it out.
Made up just
on
like
the
AIDS theory.
We'll do it. Yes, exactly. We'll talk about that as well. Well, we're covering some issues that will not be covered anywhere else in the old media right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today with Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist. I have him linked up as well, and you can check it all out at the blog there, 866-939-BELL, as well as naturalnewsradio.com, where you're listening right now. Enter your email address, and you will be sent daily updates, as well as a special thanks to the Prepper Podcast Network at prepperpodcast.com for replaying the show every day. We appreciate that. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos. knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Doing some very adult discussion here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. May challenge belief systems or, you know, look, whatever it does, it's what needs to come out at this point in time. And I'm grateful that you're here every day listening. Tell your friends about it. Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, is with me. We've just deconstructed 9/11 a little bit more and, of course, hit the speed of light, which is now broken. So we're looking for a mechanic. Apply. Actually, you can call 866-939-BELL. If you think you can fix the speed of light, give us a call. We'll consider all options there, because if not, we don't know how long the universe has. But certainly we'll get there faster. And that's okay, I guess, because everybody's in a hurry. Except here, where we're slowing things down for the moment, because we've got to really reconstruct the universe as to what really makes sense. Are there realities that have not been acknowledged within the pseudoscientific realm or the field of scientism that we should consider here, Liam?
Yeah, it's not known to a lot of people, but astronomy and those friendly guys who get onto the PBS specials are lying, or they're deceiving, maybe themselves most of all, but they're lying at a very high pay grade. They're holding back information, probably from their own consciousness, but it is well understood by electrical engineers who study outer space that outer space is not an empty, dead thing that Albert Einstein said it was, that there is an ether, essentially, that there is that space is made of something called a plasma. And a plasma is a field of charged particles, something with a positive or a negative charge. So something that's been stripped of an electron or two or three or had an electrons added to it. And when you have charged particles, they have an attraction to each other, either an attraction or a repulsion. And that attraction, remember I said the force of gravity was the weakest that we can find among all forces. You can break the force of gravity. You can take, you can lift yourself off. The whole Earth pulling against you, jump right up in the air. Sure. It pulls you back, but you can break it. You can lift a glass of water off the counter. The entire Earth trying to hold on to this, you can break it with one arm.
Well, but, it, you know, of course, it's true. We can acknowledge, too, that things with intense mass have more weight that we seemingly can't break that bond because we're not strong enough to do so. But yes, in general, it's one of the easiest things to break the gravity or gravity's hold on an object. And then we create machines that can do it or other forces that can do it as well.
We have 100-ton machines that, using the thickness of the air like water, fly up into the sky. We call them airplanes, but that's not the now the electromagnetic force,
yes,
that is 1,000 times stronger than gravity? No. 100,000 times stronger than gravity? No. 1,000,000 times? No. 1,000,000,000,000 times? No. It's 1,000, ready? Trillion times stronger than
you're
gravity.
You're making that up.
No.
1,000 trillion, come on, you're making that up. That sounds like the U.S. debt.
It does, doesn't it? It's 10 to the 39th power, so go figure. It's 10 with 39 zeros times the electromagnetic attraction between charged particles is 10 to the 39th power stronger than the force of gravity. So take the molecules in a diamond or you, and you understand that these things are wed to each other through
they
the
have some level of resistance that you got to work a lot harder at.
So they're wed to each other through the electromagnetic force. Now, the electromagnetic attraction between charged particles in the heavens, in outer space, is strong, but of course they're very dispersed. It's a very dispersed kind of gas. It's really a plasma.
Right.
But they can accumulate, and when they come close together, they attract each other, and they form currents. And these currents are named after a researcher called Christian Birkeland, who discovered the aurora borealis and said that it was, well, he wasn't the first to see it, but he said this is an electromagnetic phenomena. This is a result of electricity and magnetism in space. And everybody said, oh, no, it's just a light show. It's just gases. And this guy said, no, this is electricity and magnetism. Well, he was right. It was electromagnetic force. Electricity and magnetism are inseparable. They are one and the other side of a coin. Where you have an electric current, you have a magnetic attraction. Where you have a magnetic attraction, you have electrons flowing, you have an electric current. Space is machined and pulled together and assembled and directed by electromagnetic currents, which pour into the sun and into the poles of planets and out of the poles of planets and out of the poles of the sun. We're all connected umbilically. This is a giant electromagnetic.
You said umbilically, and that reminded me of the aspects of creation, creating new life or life forms. And we covered this on the air a while back, which was fascinating when we saw the study come out about the researcher, I think it was Johns Hopkins or somewhere up there, maybe you'll remind me, where she accidentally left the camera on overnight, where there was a tadpole forming into the frog, that the face before it was actually fully developed. And they actually saw the electromagnetic field, the EM field, the energy field that precipitated the shape that was to come, the field morphing into this physicality, field morphology and such. So we have scientific validity verification, but it really destroys a lot of the argument that it's all about molecules and molecules and molecules and stuff and materialism, and that's all it is, what we can see, feel, taste, touch, hear, even though all of those things end up being waveforms as well.
They do, and you're right. It was Tufts University.
Tufts, thank you.
Sure. You think about what astronomers have created in space to compensate for the weakness of gravity. They've created an entire zoo of fiction. Black holes, dark matter, these things don't exist. They have no idea. Any time astronomers see something in space that's too strong for gravity, they say, oh, it must be an invisible space monster. So they call it a black hole. They say it's dark matter. Recently, another paper came out and said, oh, we had decided that 94% of the universe was invisible, ultra-powerful, and we couldn't see it. We called it dark matter. We were wrong. We don't really know what it is. All of this stuff is crumbling before our eyes. We have 9/11 theory falling down. We have this theory falling down. We've
talked about plate tectonics, right?
We've talked about plate tectonics.
In fact, the growing Earth concept of that, you were just about to mention the whole AIDS scam as well.
Right. Well, we could do a whole show on the history of the argument about uniformitarianism and the idea that the Earth was always the same size, and then the notion and the observation that there are giant ridges underneath the ocean and the thing spreads, and how they had to compensate for the idea that, number one, the Earth has always had to be the same size. So yes, it spreads, but it also gets eaten up at the same rate. So they had to invent a theory called plate or subduction and plate tectonics, which no good researcher can really make a case for it. So you're stuck looking at the Earth as an organic being. Does the Earth grow? It's a question. It's a reasonable one. But science is so uncomfortable with these questions of life as a living process. It's funny. They want it to be a machine.
It's very exciting when you start looking at things again this way, because suddenly you're opened up to creative inspiration. The things that will come to you through a dream, and we see historically scientists have made leaps via these things that are now considered outrageous. You can't even look to those things because they're not proven, etc. But the reality is, once you start looking at life this way, all things become possible again. You're not limited or constricted in a sense, and this is what healers, real healers, natural healers have found, that the limitations that have been placed on the art, if you will, of healing, that's now become not a science but has become a business model that is basically born on the continuation of sickness and illness and dependency and slavery. And we realize that we've snuffed the life literally right out of the healing sciences and all of the sciences. Science has to be process of discovering life, and even though that thing that looks inanimate and inert is held together by electromagnetic forces that are life itself in far different ways. Very exciting.
Life itself. Yeah. That's a book by, is it Life Itself? I think that was by Francis Crick, or was it James Watson? Probably mm-hmm. Francis Crick. The funny thing is that it was either Crick or I think it was Crick. I'll say it is, and you can correct anything you want to. Listeners, write me the note on the back of a $25 Federal Reserve note.
Yes. Wrote a book 25s called, again?
Yeah, wrote a book called Life Itself. Now, this guy, one of the co-discoverers of DNA, or mm-hmm. Helping
Watson,
helping to map its sequence, goes on the record saying, this is far too complex to have evolved in the way that we use that word by accident on Earth. And he says, no way. This thing is this magical digital code. And he goes on to say, the only way, in my scientific estimation, it could have happened was if somebody put it on a rocket ship and crashed it into the planet. Now he's thinking still mechanistically.
Sure.
From my point of view, it's all digital signals. It's all carried through the ether. It unfolds on any wet, rocky planet. It's not a mystery.
Well, that's the mystery we're trying to solve today. Actually, we are trying. We're doing it.
We're doing well.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Well, that's what we got. Thank you, Yoda. So we're going to do some more of this. I really enjoy the way we're going today. In fact, it's taken it to a whole other level. And if you enjoy this, please let us know. If you don't, hey, we would love to hear from you either way. So far, all the feedback. When we do our wild and crazy shows together, Liam, we talk movies and people enjoy it. So that's a lot of fun, too.
And age theory is made up.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that. The age theory is completely made up. All we ask that you do is say thanks to those that are supporting this message of health, freedom, and liberty, and the unlimited ability to discuss just about anything we care to here. And it really moves the life-sustaining elements in all of us, perhaps an excitement for life that I really love. So thank you for being here. Liam, we'll be right back, and you will too.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos.
knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
Bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Don't try to do what we do here on the air. You might hurt yourself, and we don't want to be liable for anything like that. Stubbing your mental body, whatever it is. Actually, no, continue to do these things because it's a lot of fun. It's creative. These are the things, if you can remember what it was like, maybe if you ever had the experience in school as a kid where you found a teacher that was just filled with excitement, imagination, that stimulated your thought that the universe was an unlimited place of amazing potential, and that you were there and it was a creative, exciting place to be. Now, not a lot of teachers are like that. I do. And maybe one day we could talk about, Liam, teachers that have inspired us. Maybe if it's, I can remember some, but the point is, this is the fun stuff. This is the stuff that brings us, you know, back to life, the universe and everything. And, you know, where we go from here, certainly we can talk about the HPV shot if we want. We can talk about Ron Paul and politics. We can talk about the United Nations as such. But it opens up to a limitless potential of all the things we can cover and how it relates back to everything.
Sorry, I was thinking about my third grade teacher.
Ah, I got you going
Mrs.
there.
Mrs. Mark.
You do remember Mrs. Mark, huh? Yeah, I remember Mr. Averin. Mr. Averin, I was in elementary school. We had a discovery program.
I think I remember her for different reasons.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I was an innocent child thinking about all the exciting scientific discoveries we would make. And in fact, interestingly enough, we talked about electromagnetic energy stuff. He put together with Legos, this was back in the 1970s, put a track of Legos together, reversed the pole of magnets. Am I old? Is that what you're saying? And reversed the poles of the magnets, and he showed this thing floating along this thing with no friction. And he says, I'm going to patent this and do it. It turns out some people from, I don't know wherever, did the maglev system, beat him to it by a month or something.
Wow.
I mean, but he was on, and we saw this stuff happen. It was like so exciting to see the potential of that. You just, you know, as we're discussing this, I remember that from childhood. Maybe you have experiences like that.
No. Well, my experiences were biological. My mother went back to medical school, had a very powerful microscope. And we'd go to the pond and go fishing, and I'd always be collecting snakes and newts and whatever I could find that fascinated me at that age, little squirmy things with eyes and tiny little hands. Always fascinated by the tiny little hands on these things.
Mm. That's why you like the lizards you see around.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by reptiles and amphibians. I'm just absolutely
fascinated.
You're
really a reptile.
Deep down. No, me?
Somebody might think I'm serious, too, if they follow some of these guys.
No. I'm more of a kind of a monkey, ape, bear-like creature. But I'm more of a cat. I'm more of a cat.
All right.
So what? Reptiles, amphibians, you'd take the pond water, and we'd look at it under the microscope, and you'd see this little tiny world of happy little creatures swimming around and maybe eating each other, maybe not, maybe just sort of getting along. And you could see their insides. So there was life inside of life inside of life. And I suppose that had an impression on me. And then you'd look up at the stars. And when I was a kid, you could see the stars in the sky and you could see the Milky Way. You could actually see the belt across the sky.
Yes. Now you have to go very far outside of the cities because there's very few areas that don't have that light leak all over the place where you miss that. Going out to the outback in Australia, places like that, it's an incredible thing. Being out on a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean is another place where you can see it.
Get up to the mountains, camp out overnight, and look at it. You can see so many shooting stars, meteorites. You can track satellites as they walk across the sky, dance across the sky. What are stars? The ancient question asked by the ancient philosophers, what is life? What is life itself? And you look and you see this nest, this bed of glowing things, and of course it seems alive to you. Then these idiot scientists come along and tell you that it's nothing but a dead, accidental series of nuclear explosions, and you sort of look at them and you say, really? doesn't seem to be a dead accidental thing. They seem to be speaking to me, and I'm sure there's life out there. And you get the guy saying, well, the probability, and that's changed, by the way, as we've gotten older. They used to say the probability that there was life was very little. Now they're saying it's got to be.
It's ridiculous.
So things, you know, facts change. Remember, facts change. Science is not science. Science is the opinion of a lot of people who got paid a few years ago and are still in power. It will go away. Don't get tied into it. Don't buy into it. Don't argue from the point of view of the scientific establishment. Just assume that they have a lot to learn. Assume that the answers are bigger than they can hold in their PhD, their ivory towers. The ivory towers don't runneth over with ideas.
Well, remember, I always talk to you about the disdain I had for those so-called ivory towers and even the egghead research facilities and institutions like the Ivy League schools, even though I went to one that they considered Ivy League of the South. But I just never really was intrigued by it. In fact, a lot of it, the energy rubbed me the wrong way, where they were coming from, what they were saying, limiting, constricting, worshiping or worshipful. And I said, you know, I don't buy that game. I don't like this idea. And it turns out, you know, as we find out, there's life beyond that realm. In fact, their world is crumbling while the exciting world is being reborn.
Their world is crumbling. This old Teutonic system, this old European system of, it's not even master apprentice, it's intellectual slave to self-aggrandizing, what's the word when you get tenured, you know, tenured imbecile. you know, go read The Paper Chase, the film from the 70s, I guess, but John Houseman playing the Harvard professor who the student just wants a little bit of acknowledgement for. It's just impossible. You have to sit in the classrooms of these old bores who haven't learned a thing since they were about 19 years old. And they're in their 50s and they're regurgitating the same stuff. And even if they try to keep current, they're reading the journals which close their doors to new ideas.
Yeah. So what have we learned this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show? It's not that I usually do pop quizzes and stuff, but I think we covered a whole lot of ground. And it's not like I do this for intellectual pursuits as well. I don't overemphasize that. I mean, I like smarts. It's like the article that Mike Adams wrote on, you know, being a moron, if you believe the official story of 9/11. I mean, it doesn't do well for your self-concept of IQ if you buy into those things. But as you said, many of us may not have looked into it. It was too traumatic. And of course, the emotions get in the way of logical thought or questioning and things. But even beyond that, the questions are limited by those officials that need their protection, their turf protection. And we're opening up that potential, I believe, to ask the questions that can't be asked anywhere.
It's our right to think for ourselves. It's our right to say no to the government when the government isn't even asking our permission. We have a right to sovereignty, to self-determination. You're an individual on this planet. You have a right to determine your own will, your own thought. Be open. Be critical. Don't be closed. Don't be dogmatic about it. Let the information come through you. We all have to pull back from this centrist system, banking, taxation, intellectual. We're being made intellectual slaves
by
a very few people.
By others. Exactly. The thoughts that you have may not be your own. They may be those that were placed in you, whether it be at birth, prior, or afterwards, somewhere in there. And there's a point where you wake up and say, are those really my thoughts? That's a good question to ask. Are they mine? Or are they somebody else's that wanted to control me, to keep me in line within an electrified fence, for instance, of pharmaceutical propaganda, or whether it be the 9/11, which may be the linchpin in this century that sets people up to go, oh my God, the whole world lied to me, right? Like I learned early on because of my own health woes, the things that I was questioning because I wanted to be well, I had suffered, that woke me up, that sharpened my mind, if it dulled it by the drugs prior, that suddenly sharpened it to ask the questions that Liam has asked for a long time as well, and that we're doing our level best to answer some of those, but we don't ask you to believe a thing we're saying here, except to enjoy the exploration, enjoy the journey. And we're going to do some more journeying, speaking of the 1970s and 80s rock band that I like so much, and my wife does too. Do you like Journey at all?
Me?
Yeah.
Awesome. How can you not like Journey?
Of course. So we'll do some Journey. And of course, next hour, we're going to talk more about the scam behind the whole AIDS paradigm.
Wheel in the sky.
The wheel in the sky is turning, but say thanks to our sponsors here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I appreciate all of you tuning in. Tell your friends this is the place for health, freedom, and liberty.
And go Orange
media.
TKO.
Yeah, go Orange TKO, right? The story yesterday I covered on the people dousing themselves in pesticides for bed bugs. No, Orange TKO, please. Natural News has it. They carry it. Anyway, coming right back after these, brief announcements or breaks, whatever you call it, at the top of the hour here on the Natural News Radio Network and everywhere else. 866-939-BELL, robertscottbell.com. The power to heal is yours.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning. Oh, I don't know where I'll be tomorrow.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out, counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
What do you want to talk about this hour? We could talk about failure to launch. Wait a second. No, that's not it. Failure to understand monetary policy. Failure to understand what a culture of life is or is not. Failure to understand that the AIDS orthodoxy are defending an indefensible perspective that a virus or a retrovirus can cause any of the things that they claim are being caused in the decline of immune deficiency to immune collapse to result in horrific deaths. There are so many things that Liam Sheff is back with me this hour in studio, the conspiracy realist. Liam, thank you for being here. We could talk about so many things. Once you start unlocking the code of a lot of the lies, the illusion and such, you could start seeing the patterns that emerge in so many of the news stories that now you begin to look at and laugh at and go, my gosh, how was I ever duped by these things? It's sort of like you've now got the cipher, the secret way to unlock the code. Now you get to see everything. If not for what it is, it's certainly for what it isn't.
Well, yeah, the news is constantly beating with stories that are supposed to capture your imagination. Some, you know, Paul Abdul walks off the set. Oh, what was that? Oh, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the new show. Oh, did you see the new show about the whatever? Oh, did you see that? It's like the Matrix. It's like Dark City. Mm-hmm. You are given pablum. You're given cud to chew on. What will you chew? You can spend as much energy talking about And you can spend good intellectual energy talking about whether you like the new cast of the show that you've been watching, or you approve of a certain director taking over the James Bond or Harry Potter or whoever series, and suddenly everybody has an opinion on directors in cinema, and, oh, well, you know, I don't think that Daniel Radcliffe, oh, will he be good in the next movie? Or you can talk about the way the world runs. You could talk about politics. You could talk about monetary systems, or you could talk about history. You have a choice. I think that, you know, I grew up and I was more or less led by a variety of means, enticed to think about media and arts and culture. And there's plenty of, you can develop critical thinking there.
Sure.
But you're going to remain trapped in your little cloud universe. And as a lot of the gay community is trapped in its little cloud universe, and they're talking about the benefits and negatives of, oh, doing two of these kinds of tests or not, or the arts and the culture, or the award ceremonies, or this or that, or the other thing.
Or the drugs that they, I mean, you bring that up because one of the things I wanted to deconstruct even further this hour, and we should have the opportunity, and some of it, you know, when we get together talking about these, it gets a little bit more PG-13, if you will, in terms of the audience. But understand that we're talking about deconstructing something that is causing needless death and suffering, not only among one sub-segment of the population, but literally across the board, we're all impacted in this way. You know, it's kind of like Liam and I, we were talking about the idea of a culture of life. I've always been kind of annoyed with the hypocrisy of the culture of life. This is where the left throws it at the right? They say, oh, you believe in a culture of life, right? And if you look at, they never throw the argument, maybe they throw the death penalty argument, but they never throw the warfare argument, or rarely do they say, well, you're willing to bomb innocents abroad to go after one guy who may have been linked to something that you said it was linked. And, oh, I'm sorry, 100,000 women, children, innocent babies, even unborn babies, babies in the womb still, bombed, and they're done before they even had a chance to live. Now, on the other hand, we have not seen the left rise up since Obama has been president to be anti-war like they seemingly were when Bush was, but they were just anti-Bush. So hypocrisy is on both sides of the political spectrum without fail, and it oozes with this hypocrisy. And I think each one could say you're a hypocrite in this context. So I like to get out of that, that, you know, sort of like I'm pointing fingers. That's why we can, I guess, look at all of it and say, look, and the whole thing is stinking to high heaven, so to speak.
Equal opportunity offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the left claims to be anti-war. They're just, they seem to have been brainwashed and taken over by a cadre of people who want you to think that freedom is having a centralized governmental healthcare system which enforces false diagnoses and deadly drugs on you. So, for example, you may have been given a false diagnosis of hepatitis C or HPV or HIV. You heard what I just said. You might have given you a totally false diagnosis. You're not encouraged to question that on the left because science is the equivalent of old-time religion on the left for, you know, as for the right. They all have to stand up at the well, I believe in a culture of life. Who's the latest snake-eyed liar to stand up and say, I'm for a culture of life?
Slick Rick Perry. Yeah.
Why? He mandated a deadly vaccine. Do I have to say potentially? It's killed 100 people.
Yeah.
On every girl in his state of a certain age. Oh, well, they had an opt-out clause. Really? I mean, you come along and say, yeah, I got to take this, you got to take this, you got to take this, you got to take this. You can opt out if you want, but you got to take this, you got to take this, you got to take this. Now California is doing the same and saying that girls can come and get these shots without any parental consent. In other words, the state is your parent.
You're right.
You know, hold on a second. Ding, 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 ding. Hello, Mr. Huxley, you were right. You know, Brave New World is here. What parents? Why don't we just let everybody do pharmaceutical drugs all day long and forget that they even have hands to work with or minds that like to think? So how many people do I know, plenty, who have been given this fake HIV diagnosis? Because why? They did the supposedly right thing. They went in and they got the make-believe HIV test that doesn't test for anything. And they were in a risk group and they got caught in this trap. Now, how many of them do I know who say funny things like, it's funny because I have to look back, and I guess I got it from this one weekend where I was here 15 years ago, but I've had three partners in between, and none of them are HIV positive. You want to say, why do you trust the authority with this information? Who are the authorities to tell us about our sex lives? That goes for the right. The right, which is now going to say, amen, get them out of our sex lives. You want to say that some people can't be gay or can't be married. It's really none of your business. Sorry if that offends you. Mm. You got to stop caring about it. You got to let it come back to individuals. We should not care as a state what individuals do, except that they don't hurt children.
Yes.
You know, and that it's consensual between them. After that, can we stomach being grown up? Oh, I hear the grumbles in the audience. I do. Well, we don't like you anymore, Liam. I'm sorry.
Well, listen, you know, I understand what you're saying. I'm sensitive to these things, too. I mean, to talk about in terms of marriage, like we hear a lot about, well, marriage should be between a man and a woman. Now, I don't really, on this, I'm married to a woman. We're in love. We've been married for how long? What anybody else does to get married or not doesn't impact my marriage. And of course, well, then what is this institution? Well, listen, I'll tell you right now, we didn't ask permission of government to get married.
Right.
I don't think the government should have anything to do with it. And that's also Ron Paul's perspective as well when he says, do you believe in it? Listen, why are we asking permission of government? Where did they become our mommy and daddy? We need permission from, you know, Bill Clinton or George Bush or Barack Obama to get married or anybody in. Where is that thought form? Of course, I know where it came from, and I talk about that historically as well, and we could bring that up. But the idea is, why are we looking to get approval from some external authority figure, authoritarians who would say, well, yeah, you can, no, you can't, yes, you can. Stop asking for permission where none is required.
Yeah. Blacks used to not be able to marry whites. Blacks used to not be considered people. They used to not have a vote. Then they didn't have a full vote. Women used to not have a... On and on we go. Because why? Because we've decided that the government needs to tell us what to do. We can form local communities. We can grow food. We can participate in economies. We can pay local taxes on goods and services and keep the roads safe and the police paid. We can do all these things without having not just a nanny state. Boy, that's nice. A totalitarian regime.
Well, we certainly know it's a medical police state. Case in point, yesterday's story we were covering about the knock. Excuse me, ma'am. We're here with the nurse. She's got a needle for your kid. We heard that your kid's not up to date on the vaccination. Mm. And of course, where's the opt-out form? Do they come with the exemption form? Oh, but if you don't want one here, I wave it right here, right at your door. No, of course, they never mention that.
Yeah, we have to understand that this is the Inquisition of our time. We don't understand that we just live in a repeated history. We think that we're modern. We think that we're free. And we think that we make decisions on our own. We actually, as far as I can tell, repeat thought forms and historical patterns over and over. And I'm not the first to say this. You know, it's a well-understood concept. I don't even believe that we really learn from history as groups. I think we learn as individuals. There's a quote that people... It's a great quote. You know, men tend to grow mad in groups, but only regain sanity one at a time. It's absolutely true. And that was said in reference to the sciences. You know, when you have to think about the sciences, you're looking at a cloister, a little abbot, you know, a little monastery of guys patting each other in the back saying, oh, you think what I think? Oh, yes, I think what you think. Oh, you think what I think? Oh, yes, I think what you think. Well, we agree with each other. We're in charge. We'll tell everybody else what the truth is. A couple of studies have come out. I'm going to look at this one. 2006, teens who do use condoms often don't use them properly, right? So now we as a culture are now babysitting all of the teens in the country, as though it were one country. As though rural Pennsylvania had anything to do with urban Los Angeles, as though Louisiana had anything to do with Boston. These are entirely different subcultures.
Yes.
As though the government has to parent people and prevent them or not have them make babies or not make babies. It's really nobody's business but the families.
Yeah, that thing is on your ear. It's not supposed to go on your ear. I mean, what do you mean to put them on wrong? Or, you know, these are the questions you start asking as they're doing these studies and they're surveying people. How do they find out? I don't even want to know how they find this out, honestly. But, you know, these ideas that, listen, when we talk about sexual activity, human sexual activity, been going on ever since there have been humans. We know that, okay? Before there were government-sanctioned marriages, or, you know, even within religions, which I believe, you know, marriage should be between you, your loved one, and the Creator. If you want to ask your church, your synagogue, whatever, fine. But leave the government out of it. This is an institution that survived well beyond, and there's a reason for it. We can get into that. But in terms of, you know, interacting on that level, what we call the lower chakras, the energy centers of the body, we have them, and we want to utilize them. the real risk to this, of course, are, and you've mentioned this on a previous show, Liam, very well said about the emotional risks. Really, that, I mean, the emotional trauma of not being ready to have that kind of relationship with another human is very real, yeah, and perhaps even more damaging potentially. Now, we talk about, okay, you could have a pregnancy, you're not ready to handle it. That is a real risk as well. But the real disease is not the AIDS, it's the infections that are, they call the sexually transmitted diseases, STDs.
Yeah, real STDs.
Right. And there's, I mean, in this story, we're talking about what's going up with the, all of the so-called unprotected sex that's happening. Is
right.
it AIDS?
No. No, not among European, white, middle-class, heterosexual teenagers. Nobody, no. The study a couple years ago, let's see. No, this was July, says U.S. teens are using condoms. And this wonderful study from the CDC looked at five schools, five whole schools. Congratulations. Based on five school surveys. Get out. Now, based on looking at 20-something countries, this study, this other study says, no, they're not using condoms. Actually, less than half of teenagers, people who have sex in teenage, are using condoms. Are we even being honest with ourselves? AIDS is not a sex disease, but what does go up? Things like syphilis, that really goes up. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, these really mm-hmm. go up. And the funny thing is, so-called HIV and AIDS are never related to syphilis, gonorrhea, real STDs. HIV is not a particle, it's an idea, it's a test. AIDS is a real thing, but it is not caused by sex. And when you look at the number of people who don't use condoms, which we said, which mm-hmm. I said on a previous show, and I was waiting for the hate mail, I said people do not really use them. They take them
off. Well, I think one of these studies is proving your point.
I know.
I mean, the first one says they are using them. The second story, by the way, we have them linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. Again, a little bit, we realize it's somewhat a dull discussion, but it's really getting us out of the realm of reactionary, of those that are programming our brains and minds to believe certain things. We can look at these stories. And I think that, I'm pretty sure that's why Mike Adams, and we'll get him back on here, the Health Ranger, established alternativenews.com to give you the news that the people that are thinking, not thoughts that others are thinking, but literally covering the stories as they should be covered, and then giving you the opportunity to really assess and make up your own mind in that regard. And that's certainly what we enjoy doing here. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. All that we do is ask you to thank those that are supporting this message of health, freedom, and liberty, and the free thought, the freedom to question, all the things that we love to do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, is in studio with me again this hour. We'll be covering a lot more news stories coming up on the other side of this break. Thanks for being here.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works, and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. 936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
By the way, we've had a lot of feedback from our, what do we do, Liam? We talk about a lot of really wild stuff, including we did that one show just that one day while I was traveling on movies.
Yep.
I have got more feedback on that. We love when you talk about movies. It's like, come on, this is a show about health and healing and about, we got to talk about movies? We'll do that. Okay. We'll flex a little bit.
Arts and culture, because the entire world is reflected through the literary, and now we don't have books anymore.
Yeah.
So we have movies. So the whole world is reflected through cinema and television.
Sure.
We could sit and talk. I mean, I can go on for a long time. The Sopranos reflected a certain culture in the 90s. There's a show called Mad Men. I think that reflects an awareness of this whole advertising culture. It's a fascinating show, and it shows you that Madison Avenue.
Yeah.
Mad Men, who built America as a culture of winking, knowing deceit. Can we sell it to you? Can we make it clever? You know, can we make it appealing? Is it true? Is it true? Doesn't matter at all. Can we make it cute? That's the question of this show called Mad Men. And I think it's good to talk about what's happening in the culture. I think artists and writers tend to internalize all this stuff and export it or I don't know. Puke it out of their system sometimes.
Whatever it takes, and sometimes it is. Like we talked, one of the stories, I think I mentioned The Exorcist, the pea soup. Right? I did, but I laughed at it because I saw through it. Anyway, we'll talk about things like that, arts and stuff.
Good,
but we were all over the map in that opener this hour because there's so much that comes to light. Once you start, you throw off the shackles of limitations of seeing reality. You begin to create reality in a sense. Like I said, alternativenews.com that's out there now, it's really opening up the realm of thought forms that were never allowed into the consciousness. Is, you know, you had to hide, right? A secret society of discussion of things can't be said, now coming out into the open and discussing it more and more through the new media. And some of the things, you know, that we covered last section, including, you said, fake HIV diagnosis. If you're just new to the Robert Scott Bell Show, you're going to have to download a lot of shows to catch up to where we are. But we talked about the false left-right dichotomy, the anti-war that isn't there. Why that is, the requesting permission to be married. What? Are you talking? You hear Hannity or Limbaugh or even the leftist talk, right? They never touch this stuff like this.
No, they don't. Not only do they not have the guts, I just don't think they see it. I think they're so lost in this wilderness of mirrors. That's a great quote. I don't know who invented it, but it's about the CIA, the wilderness of mirrors, the wilderness of artificial stories. You can create a lie or you create a lie based on what was it that Goebbels or I think said, if a lie sandwiched between two truths or even a truth sandwiched between two lies is always more effective.
Right.
So you get these things that play with a little bit of reality and they seem to touch the edge of it. So Rick Perry stands up and he says, I mandated Gardasil, but I'm for a culture of life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lie in there. The lie is that, yes, he's anti-abortion, but the lie is that being for vaccinating young girls with this thing is for the same thing as being anti-abortion, as though they can be strung together. But, you know, he has got million-dollar handlers who say, okay, your line is you're for a culture of life.
This is it. Say it.
That you're for a culture of life. Yes, yes, 100 girls have been killed. They're dead because of this damned vaccine.
Their lives have been snuffed out, but that wasn't the culture of life that you were referring to, obviously.
Right, because I hate, also say you hate cancer.
Say you hate cancer because that tested well.
Yeah, I hate cancer for a culture of life. But what about reality? The devil, or maybe the angels are in the details, but the reality is detail. You always have to get into the details. You know, like we were talking last hour about the new theory of how the 9/11, how the Twin Towers fell down or exploded. The new theory goes out of its way to include a lot of the information that was suppressed from the old theory and still creates a sort of magic bullet, mercurial phenomena, kind of well, it's pure magic, actually, that they're invoking. Go, you know, listen to that first hour again. It's absurd and obscene. But you see, they've got a lie. They put a little bit of truth into it. Okay, we'll include some more of the data. Now you get stuck discussing the data in context of the lie. Isn't mm-hmm. that troubling? So now you have to discuss whether Rick Perry is really for a culture of life and whether that's okay to mandate something which stops cancer. No, the question is, darn it.
Yes.
Does it stop cancer? Does HPV cause cancer? None of them have the...
They will not allow you to ask the question. Not that they've maybe even considered that question like we have here, but it also brings to light the argument, are you for gay marriage or not? Well, the argument is not that. It's not even the right question. The question is, why are you assuming, for a first assumption, that the government should have anything to do with marriage?
Are you for state marriage?
Are you for state marriage? Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. The answer is no. How could you be? Who cares? It's my right. If I fall in love and I decide that I want to tie my wagon to somebody's star or vice versa for however long, for life, for however long the fates allow it, you go with your heart, you go with your best intentions, and you do it.
Well, we talk about domestic interventionism and the government going into places where it doesn't belong. The Founding Fathers, framers, wrote extensively about this. They tried to establish a terrain or an environment where government was very limited, restricted, so that there would be the maximum amount of freedom. We didn't mean the freedom to violate the rights of others. That's also a misconception. When they say, oh, Ron Paul is for decriminalizing drugs and allowing the states to figure out how to regulate or whatever with it, they all say he's for heroin. Right? Huh. And then he comes on to one of the debates early on. He says, oh, yeah, that's right. Everybody in this room, if heroin was legal, we'd all want to take it right now. Right? And they laugh. They couldn't believe it. But, I mean, that's the absurdity of which they take the argument away.
Right. Just if you want a Second Amendment, clearly you want to have a howitzer, you want to have an Uzi and walk down to the 7-Eleven and just brandish it everywhere, even though you're not going to use it. No, of course not. You want a gun in your home. Why? Not to protect yourself from your neighbor, by the way. Why should everybody have the right, at least, to have a gun in there? Because the government should know that they can't just screw with all of us. They should know that as a force, as an entire population, we represent enough of a force to push back against them in case they stop respecting our lives. And we can politely say, sorry, not in my little castle.
Which is why wholesale invasion of the United States is not likely to happen, because foreign powers know that there are more arms among Americans than there are arms on the rest of the planet combined. And that's just a very dearly held right to bear arms, if you will, that has been usurped and eroded over the years here. As you said, it wasn't the right to hunt. It was the right to self-defense and self-determination. And they knew in this big, bad world that it would take, the ability to use deadly force, not necessarily the need to use it or the actual using of it, but the ability to do so, to dissuade those who would want to come in and take from you that which is yours. This is throughout history has been the case. And as I say this, I'm not somebody advocating violence for violence's sake, but the reference that it could happen is what holds back the government from complete takeover.
That's all it is. It's not, what is it, a well-regulated militia? I wish that I had grown up in an America where I would have joined some local group and gotten a little weapons training, a little self-defense training. I mean, I had to go out in my 20s and actually seek the kind of just basic self-defense training that I really felt that I needed in my body and soul to be able to just defend myself in terms of the dangerous world that we live in, or defend my loved ones. And no, I'm not an expert. I'm not Chuck Norris or Steven Seagal. But, I know a few things, mostly, not to get into big scrapes, but mm-hmm. you got to know a few things. We don't learn these things. We get kids on drugs, playing video games, not really encouraged in schools to develop critical thinking.
Right.
We have we're developing a defenseless nation of deltas, quote Huxley again. We're turning ourselves into the lowest rung on that ladder. Come on, everybody, pull yourself out of it.
Well, we talk about immune deficiency diseases. The immune system could be described to as many things. Whether it be out here with the right to keep and bear arms to defend ourselves, or our own body's white cells and B lymphocytes. But the reality is that deficiency is causing that decay. Some would say, we talk about a moral decay. We talk about morality. This is an interesting question, Liam. Some have said that the only way we could hold this country together if the men themselves would, be of moral character to hold themselves back from doing that which our founding fathers knew men would do in positions of power, to abuse that power. Would the Constitution be enough to restrict that action, or would it be something more than that? As they say, it isn't the piece of paper that does it. It's the willingness to, let's say, restrict yourself from doing things or hold others from doing those things.
We can't defend against every evil that humans do. Do we have time in the next segment? There was recently a topic on a competing, I guess he's sort of a right-wingy show, and they were doing a topic that I happen to know a lot about, and it's about abusive boarding schools where some wealthy parents send their kids. Do you remember I was telling you about that?
Yeah.
It's called the troubled teen industry. Mm-hmm. In other words, you have troubled teens.
And so you send them out to these places.
Farm them out to
reprogramming
these,
or whatever.
Yeah, these abuse farms. And so the guy is Mark something or other. Levine?
Mark Levine, that's right. Yes. Yes, I'm Mark Levine here. I can't stand his voice. I'm sorry.
Well, he gets on and he's posting about how we need to have more government regulation, more government intervention.
He's a small government conservative.
And I'm thinking, you know, that wouldn't have helped. It wasn't really that issue. It was that there were some parents who had too much money, and frankly, they were very troubled themselves, who were given the right of one state. It usually was California or Utah or some such thing that simply didn't have any rules about people setting up these schools. It wasn't about the whole government being involved and shutting down, and you don't want to get the government to say you can't have charter schools or homeschool.
Right.
So, you know, having actually been through a horrible, horrible program like that, maybe I'll tell more about that, I'm strangely not for total government intervention.
Bizarre,
because I don't
man.
Believe that it makes things better.
Right. Well, that's the point. It's good intentions, but the road to hell, as they say, is paved with them. Rights versus privileges, very important to understand. The need to ask permission means that you do not have a right to do something. You are subservient to that authority that says, hey, you got to come to me. Then I'll say whether you can or not. Is that what it is to be an American now, to be subservient to the government in the swampland of Washington, D.C.? Or are we grown up enough to self-govern? And I guess this is the issue within the Republican Party, because I give up on the Democrats on this issue. They don't believe in self-governance. They want to control everybody. At least the rhetoric sometimes is a little more palatable in the Republican side to say, let's get the government out. Now, do they do what they say? No, we know that other than Ron Paul. You think he'd be the stalwart bearer of it, getting government out of our lives, but they look at him, they try to marginalize. When Rick Perry's going to drop out of this race, and he will.
Yeah.
What they're going to do is they're going to try and find desperately someone else. Because remember, he's polling third right now. Romney, Perry, Paul. They cannot have him be the top two. It's Romney versus Paul. No, they're going to throw somebody else. They're going to say this is the new imaginary semi-front runner. Because they can't stand the thought that somebody might actually roll back the authoritarian power structure to allow the people to be we the people again. And to live their life without the intrusion, the government interventionism. And I'm not even talking foreign. That's the other story of foreign policy. But domestic interventionism, for which both Democrats and Republicans alike are all in favor. And that is where we end this segment of the Robert Scott Bell Show. Well, we got lots more to do. We'll see what's in the news. 866-939-BELL. If you ever like to be part of the show, 866-939-2355. RobertScottBell.com. Enter your email address at naturalnewsradio.com. You'll be updated with all the goings on here and all the links that you need to know about, including to my good friend Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, and where you can find him. And of course, please say thanks to our sponsors for supporting us here with this message of health, freedom, and liberty like nowhere else in media. Thank you for being here. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones and any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Rights versus privileges. If you don't understand that basic concept, you're lost in a sea where others will manipulate you, control you, and enslave you. And in fact, my good friend Michael Badnarik wrote a book, a free chapter available through constitutionpreservation.org. Michael Badnarik's book, Good to Be King, A Foundation for Constitutional Freedoms. That chapter on rights versus privileges may be the most important of all of them, and it's downloadable for free. I'd encourage you all to read it so you can go further than we have the time to go into today as we hint at what that is, whether we talk about marriage or other issues, going to a deeper level, getting out of the emotional histrionics. Oh, you're for this, you're for that. No, we're talking about freedom here, and nothing less is good enough for us. Oh, we're so outrageous here.
I guess so. I guess we've, again, equal opportunity offenders. But I think a lot of people get this. I think a lot of people have had enough of the false memes, the false arguments of both sides. I think a lot of people have graduated from I'm pro-life and nothing else to actually in my family, I would like to be that. And in my community, I would really like to find a community that's like that. But actually, I'm not here to govern the entire decision-making process of the entire world, especially if it leads to doctors being shot and really a lot of civil strife. In fact, I always want to put it to really strongly pro-life people to take care of as many kids that are born who have nothing, who have yes. very little. And I'd really like to make the challenge that you extend that to Iraqi children, because there are somewhere between by two estimates, somewhere between 600,000 and a million people have died, have been killed. And I'm not talking terrorists. I'm talking civilians, citizens in Iraq right. in the last 10 years. So let's extend our right to life all the way that we stop killing people who've never done anything to us. And then, frankly, I think a lot of people will be more open to your argument to right. tell you the truth.
Well, I think so, because what we see through the hypocrisy on the left and the right in this regard, if you really believe in preserving life, protecting life, saving life, salvaging life, many have been damaged by our blindness, if you will. And I'll recognize that a lot of people are ignorant of this and never thought about it. Now, is that an excuse? I'm not making excuses here for them. But the reality is, I don't mean that there's malicious intent on everybody's part to ignore that. Some, as we said, have been instructed and constructed and programmed in such a way that they're completely blind to so much of life. Here, what about the other aspect of the culture of life that is lost? The medical profession.
Right.
The very doctors that were, take the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. Very much the first thing they do when they get their license is harm, great harm, tremendous harm. Now there's a story about out of the Hillingdon and Uxbridge Times in the United Kingdom, doctors evidently failing cancer patients. And I'm thinking, wow, what do they mean by that, failing cancer? Is this they're acknowledging that their stuff doesn't work? No, this is a story about they're failing cancer patients because they're not acknowledging the very cancers and diseases that they're causing by their treatments that they're giving to their patients. So this is getting so horrendous and horrific that they can no longer ignore the fact that their very treatments are creating as worse or worse conditions than they're coming to the doctors to get help for.
Yeah, we live in a culture of cut, burn, and poison. I think there's a movie called Cut, Burn, and Poison, which I haven't seen, but it's about the cancer industry. I mean, I've read Ralph Moss's books and Samuel Epstein's essays, and if you want to research the cancer industry, it's horrific and shocking and vile. But if you want to really be outraged and also amazed, you can read about alternative cancer therapies that are effective. I think you have a friend to the show who's done, is it Dr. Gonzalez?
But Dr. Nick Gonzalez has done, even up at the NIH, remember the alternative medicine wing there, had funded a study, which they sabotaged. We've covered this related as well to the Uganda HIVnet trials with nevirapine. I mean, it was a horrific story. But he is, you know, he's got people alive 20 years later that should have been dead in months. And even yesterday's show with Dr. Rashid Bitar, when we do advanced medicine, we talked about a cancer patient, a breast cancer patient, because now, the stories yesterday coming out, well, we need to hit it harder. We need radiotherapy, radiation, and chemotherapy at the same time. Then we'll be okay. That was the argument. And of course, with Dr. Bitar, none of that was necessary. And this woman is alive and well years later. They keep trying to say she should be in hospice care. How long should she get them to come and visit her to give her tea? And they're wondering, why are we here helping you?
What was the therapy that was given to her?
Well, a lot of detoxification protocols, a lot of nutrient, some intravenous introduced. I mean, radical as far as nutritional intake. Normally, we'd say eat it, but we recognize in severe deficiencies in cancers, we can accelerate healing. We've talked about intravenous vitamin C as well being utilized in cancer with great success. Here's a case in point. Now, on Sunday's show with Chris Barr, we talked again about the study supporting the use of selenium again in reversing and preventing prostate cancer, for which they now say the PSA test doesn't detect cancer, but what it may even be detecting accurately, but they don't acknowledge this, is a selenium deficiency.
Selenium is the mineral from the soil, and we have deficient soil. We have soil that's essentially been, it's a dead sponge that's been resuscitated with gasoline that's been rendered into ammonia to make fertilizer. So we all eat stuff from dead soil, and we have for most of our lives, if you're listening to this, and that's a crying, despicable shame. So now we have a government that makes people register as organic, but not as non-organic.
Yeah.
They actually call it conventional. I was in the store the other day. I was in the Whole Paycheck Market, and I was looking around the Whole Foods and thinking, dear God, I actually said it out loud. Are you joking? When did parsley become $3? It was a ditch weed. It was a roadside nuisance. How crazy are these people that we can imagine we can get away with this? It's something that grows in the ground. You can grow it for pennies. But besides that note on artificial price gouging, you have something called conventional. Now, conventional is usually granted as something that's okay that everybody does.
It's a thought program. Again, conventional is very, well, this is the word that you have to, you're conventional. That's a good thing.
They should say poisoned.
Yeah, if it was truth in labeling.
Yeah.
Toxic, poisonous,
yeah.
Even at low levels, unsafe at any speed, we've heard that. But, you mentioned the cost issue. Of course, we can go into the Federal Reserve and the IMF, and that's a discussion later, perhaps. But cancer cost, you wonder, why are they covering these stories in this way, even in the old media a little bit? I mean, it's not like we cover, but there's another story here off of the Reuters news feed. Cancer cost becoming unsustainable in rich nations.
Right.
It's bankrupting the entire system. They are going to abandon it, not because it's the right thing to abandon, but because they can't afford to pay for it, even the richest.
Well, hook or crook, because we're all lied to, and people buy into this notion that we need to have government-supplied health care. And people always look at me askew a little bit when I say, no, I'm not in favor of that. And they say, really? You don't think we all deserve a right? I think, yes, we have a right to walk into a hospital with a broken leg and have a thing put on it for $20 or $30. And if we don't have it, maybe the Sisters of Mercy will put it on for us. But if we have induced some sort of cancer, been exposed to toxins, and are so unfortunate that we have this thing, I don't want the government to pay the pharmaceutical company to kill me. That's, and I don't want everybody to pay for it either through taxes or through some sort of mandate or law. No, I want to be able to choose a way out, and I don't want to have that way out poo-pooed and made distressful and anxiety-producing by the media that says, oh, alternative, alternative, alternative. No, no, no. These are the ones that work. The alternatives actually work. The conventional are the deadly, and the alternatives are the one that work.
And remember, when the government co-opts alternative, it will become conventional, and it will become as toxic and poisonous because that's what they endorse. That's what is profitable. That's what keeps the disease-making machinery going. The tax money's recirculating, and the lobby money coming back in to support the coffers of the very legislators that go, well, we need to keep the monopoly here.
You understand we're through the looking glass on every issue, that black is white and white is black and up is down. You understand that when they say it's good for you, it's bad for you. When they say it's bad for you, it's probably what you need to be having. You know, raw milk is bad for you. Raw milk is dangerous, but vaccination is necessary. We live in we now live in a through the looking glass society, and maybe this world is that, and maybe the ancient Hindus had it right, and this is that last. What is it called? Durga? I can't remember that last.
Oh, the last Yuga.
Yeah, Yuga. Sorry.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the one where everything seems bad. Or maybe we're just a funny, funny, funny kind of species that likes to have a lot of laughs at our own expense. Hmm. Whatever it goes, if you're listening to this, the solution to this, I think, is to inject reality into more conversations. I you know, because you think about how to fix it. It's nice to talk with like-minded people, but I think it's even better to walk into a crowd and say, no, I don't believe that story. Just like that. No, 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 that's not true. Oh, you still? No, no, that's not a true story. Look it up.
I remember, based on what you're saying there, I remember Tom Woods. He's the author of Nullification and Meltdown, Rollback, a lot of great books on economics and politics. And he says just that. He says, why not? Because we were talking about raising the awareness for nullification, this concept that you could nullify without waiting for a Supreme Court ruling, violations of your rights, violations of the Constitution. Don't wait. And he says, enter it into normal conversation. You know, you're at a restaurant, you order eggs over easy, and after you think about it, you go, wait, waiter, I'd like to nullify that order, right? And it suddenly becomes part of the vernacular, and it becomes a very normal thing. Nullification was a word that was rarely, if ever, used just a year, 2 years ago. Now it's entered into the commonplace vernacular because those things have happened, and now we're questioning who has the right or authority. And then, of course, the argument is a violent argument against it. It's like, well, no, that's already been settled. Hmm. The war settled that. What war are we talking about? World War II? One? No. The Civil War, which wasn't very civil. The war between the states, the war of northern aggression, many different ways to discuss it when you look at history through unfiltered eyes, through the eyes that are not those that are given to you, but your own. And you begin to say, wait, you mean the war set? You mean somebody shot a bunch of people and said, you can't nullify something now and that's it? You have no right of self-determination? Yeah, that's what their argument is. That's not an argument. That's force and violence. That's bloodshed to say, your birthright doesn't matter to me. We run roughshod over it because we don't like what you say, what you think, what you want to do. Will it violate my rights if you do it? No, but we just don't want you to do it. We don't like it. We want you to follow what we say, what we want you to do. You must be. We're not going to call you a slave, but basically that's what you are. But you're free.
I'm waiting for somebody in one of these Republican debates. Oh, God. There will be no Democratic debates. I suppose that's the one saving grace.
Well, maybe Kucinich will run, or no, he probably won't. How about who's the Ralph? No, what's the guy's name?
Nader?
Nader. Is Nader going to run against Obama?
Nobody will run against him. No, he'll be the chosen one again unless he decides that he'd rather make millions of dollars.
On the book trail.
Yeah, on the book trail. Yeah. But I'm thinking about these Republican debates, and I'm just listening to these people peddle their various stories, and I'm waiting for somebody to openly answer the question, how much of your paycheck do you get to keep? Because nobody will do it. I mean, how much is...
Well, remember last time, Michelle Bachmann, they gave her that question, she answered it.
She said, of course it's yours to keep. And then she said...
But...
Of course you have to pay the government.
Yes, right.
She said both. That the former tax lawyer couldn't help herself. Mm-hmm. She came out, she parroted... Ron Paul, Kirk, of course your check is yours. And then she said, of course we have to pay the government or else I don't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Or else we don't get to pay lobbyists. What a great country it would be if we didn't have lobbyists anymore. Just get rid of lobbying.
Well, exactly. Wouldn't that be a wonderful
thing? You can't spend millions of dollars to convince somebody through hook and crook and deals and prostitutes and whatever you give these congresspeople that makes them so happy to do something which is totally against the dictates of their constitution.
The tough thing about that, Liam, that I find is that if you limit lobbying, you limit what they call freedom of speech. Yet, would it be then limiting it to individuals? Individuals could lobby, but you'd have to be fully disclosed. All right, this guy gave me $1 million, right? I don't know. It's a tough one because I don't like to limit that. But at the same time, we know how this is controlling because how many Ron Pauls are there that have rejected all lobby money? The lobbyists don't even bother knocking on his door. I mean, that's how much he stood. That's what I talk about, the morality. I know that can be a used and abused term. But how many men of such character that have been given potentially anything they wanted? He even refused the congressional pension. He's returned how much money over the time he's been in Congress to the budget every year because he doesn't even use his entire budget. That's what we're talking about here. Do we expect that the government's going to force more Ron Pauls into existence? It's just the opposite. They force more criminals into existence by their teaching of us that criminality is how you get by. Look at theft is rewarding. Theft gets us millions and billions of dollars. We get lobbied. We get more powerful. We leave Congress and we get a cushy job in industry that we were supposed to regulate. So they're teaching us all the wrong things that theft pays.
Yeah, I don't think we probably can't fix Washington. I think we just have to make it a lot less important.
Yes.
I think it has to matter a lot less. I would get rid of lobbying, and I would get rid of any number of things. I'd have term limits, but I don't expect Washington to really work. I think that's the change in point of view that I've had over time.
I think you've nailed it there, Liam. We cannot fix government. Anybody who says they can fix government is lying to you. The only thing we can do is starve it.
Right.
Reduce its impact because it's always negative. I know for the leftists in the audience, but what about what? Don't give me that anymore. We've got to realize that the deaths, the mayhem, the destruction that's been caused. Okay, you can go back in time and say, oh, it was religious wars. Well, the government now is taking the place of religion, as is so-called science and medical pseudoscience or scientism, as we've covered today. Liam, I got to run. I got to wrap up the show pretty soon here. It's always great to have you on board in studio. We had a great time today, and I think we moved something around. Did we move somebody's magnet or electromagnetic waves or fields? Because stuff's shaking out there.
It was an exciting day. It was a very exciting day. I'm going to go read some Kipling later, even though he was an old imperialist.
Yes, why not?
He's still fun to read.
All right. Well, thanks for helping me rock the health world and every other world in between. Coming right back to wrap up today's show on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio right here on Natural News Radio and also Prepper Podcast Network and everywhere else they're picking us up all over planet Earth. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com. and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thanks once again to Liam Sheff for helping us elevate the discussion level, not where it usually is in the gutter, right? We got to take it on up. And love to hear from you anytime. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com. Thank you for being here. And what else is in the news here as we wrap up today's show? I think one of the things is the ongoing radiation issue. We don't want to completely leave that out. I don't talk about it every day, although we did spend a lot of time talking about it early on in the phase and through the many months following Fukushima disaster. But more keeps coming out. I mean, this one out of Japan, in fact, they're finding radiation in rice, a staple of the Japanese diet. And I realize that most of my listeners are far afield from Japan, but the background levels of radiation are very real, and they're rising. And they have risen, and we've got to take, you know, the thing is, I've said this for so long, it isn't that I'm telling you to do anything I wouldn't ordinarily be telling you to do, except it becomes more urgent because there are more stressors on the basic functions, enzymes, hormones, cellular integrity, all of the things that are necessary to do all of the time. So when I talk about selenium, and I talk about a food-grown form of selenium, when I talk about sea vegetation, when we talk about homeopathy, the EMF detox from King Bio, these are the things that I'm actually doing. I wouldn't be telling you to do them if I wasn't doing them. And I want to do them even more. You know, the more I read about it, the more I recognize it. That which is invisible does have an impact upon us. And I don't want to see you succumb to anything unnecessarily, needlessly. If you take the time to do what is right to prevent that which is, I hate to use the word inevitable, but if we pretend nothing's going on and do nothing to prevent it, of course, a lot of things are going to be happening. So the power to heal is yours, which is how I end every hour on the show. But it is only if you utilize it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to actually do something about it. So one of the simplest things you could do, heck, if you're not going to do anything else, just take a couple of sprays of the EMF detox every day. That's not too much. It's easy, you know, and I know there are a lot of people who say too much going on in life. It's troublesome. It's tough. But you can get a bottle of homeopathic medicine to last a couple of months at a time, and that's at least something to counteract some of the negative effects of the radiation rising. Let's see. There's another story here about thousands entering school without vaccines, and am I the only one that says this is good? I want to see millions enter school. Actually, I want to see millions homeschooled or go back to community local schools that are not under the auspices of the federal government. You know, these things that have become commonplace have really basically usurped the parental role. And I recognize not everybody can homeschool, but if you can find some way to limit their exposure to some of these things that basically raise them to believe and really rely upon some, you know, deus ex machina government agency, could be 1,000 miles away or more, or maybe you live in the district. I mean, come on, they can't take care of their own budget. And I talked to you about also the fact that they're teaching your children how to steal. They're teaching thievery as a way of life. And no, I'm not exaggerating. This is just like I talked about, where are the kids learning to take drugs? And you look at these, a picture here. I've got it linked up at robertscottbell.com. It's over through Fox News of a kid being injected. It's just a horrific scene that we're doing this still. The debate, of course, growing on childhood vaccinations as it should, and yet government agencies and agents of the government and elected officials all bought off by the pharmaceutical industrial complex. Don't let your child become a victim. Please don't do that. And don't worry, I'm not coming to your door with a billboard saying, hey, don't vaccinate your child. You know, that's not the way I am. Like, the government's coming with their nurses with needles. Oh, yeah, honey, Robert Scott, he's at the door again. He's telling us not to vaccinate our kids. No, I want you to make your own decision based on the information that you're getting here and other places that you're not getting from government. And last warning of the day is related to antidepressants. And I can't tell you how many people that I meet that are on these things, even though they know better, they don't want to be. But the mix of the antidepressants with blood thinners is even more extraordinary as far as the risk opposed to the bleed outs. You know, if you're on Zoloft, Prozac, Paxil, Lexapro as such, and you're also on Plavix, your risk for bleed out is much, much greater. And you could be doing something like nattokinase or lumbrokinase or doing something like the fish oils, the EFAs to, you know, reduce inflammation within the bloodstream. Again, we'll get to the heart of what really is the cause of the ailments rather than chasing, oh, we need to thin your blood and we need to elevate your mood or let's say remove you from life because we think it's a brain chemistry abnormality. Never mind, there's no official test to detect it. But the symptoms alone could indicate that you have an SSRI drug deficiency disease. No, you do not. No one does. I'm not calling also for the ban of these drugs. I want you to have all the information you can possibly have to make a fully informed decision on this. But please try nutrition first. Try detoxing heavy metals first. And keep listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. And if you've missed any, there's hundreds of hours for download. Thanks to Mike Adams, Natural News, Natural News Radio. Grateful for all the opportunity to get this message out. Health, freedom, liberty like nowhere else in media. Thanks again to Liam Sheff. Thank you to you for being here every day. Please spread the word. Tell all your friends and family members from around the world. This is available 24/7. Man, what a world we live in. Isn't this awesome? Well, thanks again. We're going to be back tomorrow with more powerful healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show. In the meantime, let me just remind you this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.